welcome to the Anime Podcast. This week we're moored off the Irish coast, near Tory Island. We're actually still in the search for Jeffrey Epstein. We believe he's come here to the ruins of Baylor's Castle, trying to look for the old ancient Celtic god. Maybe a team up, maybe not, hopefully not a sexual one. But we'll get back to that later on in the episode, see if we can find him. In the meantime, we got a nice recording for you of four of us, myself, James, Will, and Oisin, discussing the issue of the right-wing fascist groups taking advantage of the pandemic by demanding an end to the lockdowns. Yeah, every country seems to have these weirdos. Anyway, we open up with a bit of banter before we get into the discussions.
So, if you had to put money on it, would you say the Queen's going to die of COVID, or will she die of a proletarian accidentally impaling her? How ironic. Oh, no. What was that thing I said before, that Boris Johnson would accidentally fuck her to death or something? This is stuff you can cut out, actually.
You know, there's always memes about the Queen being immortal.
Really?
Yeah.
That's depressing, if that's true.
It is a wee bit. But like, she's survived everything, and she is still alive somehow.
Is she though? Isn't that kind of, couldn't it be like a Weekend at Bernie's thing at this point? We just, well, I mean, I'm convinced that the guy, Kim Jong-un, is dead, and they have one of his doppelgangers. seriously, I really am convinced of that. I think he's dead, because his sister is always around him now, and I think, well, it's a Weekend at Bernie's thing there, and Britain is about as bad as North Korea when it comes to its propaganda.
Yeah, there's always like all that speculation about Prince Philip being dead, and I mean, like,
I'm self-isolating at Balmoral, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm not dead, I'm just not conscious and or participating in social interactions, but that's totally fine. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, what kind of a life does that man have anyway?
Well, he seems to be he probably lies down most of the time, and his most enjoyable part of the day is farting. So, I mean, it's, but who's, that's usually what most people really these days in lockdown, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. is this what you look like when you are preparing for an interview?
This is what I look like with my tie off after an interview.
Do you have a sweater vest on there? A little sweater vest?
Yeah, my kind of cardigan. The signature.
Very, very nice. Very academic.
Thanks.
Little tie. Hair brushed to the side.
This is the first time I've worn a full set of clothes in several weeks. I was like, remember ties? Remember wearing trousers? What's all this?
Yeah.
Yeah, bizarre.
A pair of slinky trues and a nice muted shirt.
The thing I'm starting to forget is what it's like to sleep for longer than 2 hours at a time.
Why are you sleeping for only 2 hours at a time?
I just can't like stay asleep. I thought it was a lockdown thing.
No, that's just you. You think you might be Margaret Thatcher, because Margaret Thatcher couldn't sleep for more than 4 hours apparently.
I mean, that's, I don't know what, anyway, but like I've been going to bed at like 2 in the morning and like waking up again about 4, and then falling asleep again about 6 and waking up again about 8, and then that's me for the rest of the day. And I'm like, I just want to sleep through the night and get like a nice 4 hours. That'd be all right.
How much are those energy drinks are you drinking?
Well, more now. I've got this like weird nervous energy from interview, so I thought, do you know what, I'll sort out some nervous energy, some delicious Monster energy drink.
Not having a wine.
Friend of the show, Monster. Monster.
It seems an obvious thing to say, but stop drinking energy drinks. That'll probably let you sleep.
Nah.
Nah, mate.
No, mate. I need my energy.
Overload the system.
You see that one? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're a doctor, okay? Fuck you. Why would I listen to you?
You're not an expert.
It says on the can, unleash the beast. Why wouldn't I do that? Like, you know?
Exactly. Of course, that does presuppose that the beast was ever leashed in the first place, which it wasn't. Turn my swag off. Never fucking
off. Did I ever tell you about this neighbor I had in Edinburgh? It was a guy called Terry Purden. and big Celtic fan, probably one of the biggest Celtic fans I've ever met. But he was like a recluse. He'd been in a hair metal band in the 80s, early 90s. But he'd come in out really late, so they got like a deal, and they moved down to London. And like, if you saw pictures of him, you were like, man, that was, you know, he had all the qualities you needed for a hair metal band. He didn't eat. He smoked like a fucking chimney. He drank like a whatever, the equivalent of a chimney. And he had a lot, you know, but they came at the fucking wrong moments. They missed the hair metal trend. So when they got down there and they were doing gigs, if it collapsed, and he was like, I fucking hate Nirvana. And I was like, why do you hate Nirvana? He's ruined my life. And I was like, how's your Nirvana ruin your life? And it's because they fucking took over all the music. It was all sad and depressing. So I had to
grunge.
I had to stop backcombing my hair, and we had to do like sad music. But our thing wasn't sad music. Our thing was like boppy music. And he said, that's how I became an alcoholic. And I was like, yeah, that's how you became an alcoholic.
That's what it was, mate. Well,
all that Kurt Cobain, 27 Club bastard.
Yeah. But he was quite happy when I met him, because when he'd been working in the Royal Mail, this is after he got off booze and drugs, and he was back up in Edinburgh, and he went into this pub because he used to just drink Iron Brew, which is why I thought of him. And there's this guy there who's a real kind of, Irish would say, erect ahead, Scots would call him a big lousy cunt, and he was going after the barmaid, and so he was like, "Right, you outside," and the guy was like, "Yeah, square go." And off he goes, and as Cherry goes out, your man was waiting behind the door and clocked him in the back of the head, and then curb stomped him on the concrete, and he was in a coma for 2 weeks. He also kind of basically fucked up his leg, so he was kind of disabled, and legitimately had like memory problems, but not of his glory days. He remembered those like perfectly. And he was such a weird, weird guy, because he loved it. He was like, oh, it's great, man. I get to stay inside, watch TV, man. And he was like you. He only slept like 2 hours or so. They turned the TV on, would fall asleep for another 2 hours, and he'd be up. But he still smoked like tons of cigarettes and had energy drinks. So
what you're saying is I need to take up smoking.
Give up energy drinks.
For Iron Brew after he was in the coma.
I need to get myself a massive bottle of Iron Brew, some cigarettes, and like a leg issue of some description.
He once came over to Dublin to see me, and I gave him a samurai sword that I had.
Wow.
It wasn't a real one. It was like a knockoff, and it wasn't sharp. He's like, oh, can I have that, man? That's great, man. Yeah, brilliant. And then he had no passport, so he used to travel on the train up to Belfast and across to Edinburgh. And so he got onto the boat, and they were like, and he had this thing sticking out of his back. And he was like, what? And they were like, what's that? And he goes, is that a sword? And he was like, no, mate, it's a bat. And they were like, can we? And he was like, no, mate, it's my favorite bot. shall we give it
crack
a go?
Yeah, let's crack on.
That's enough wishy banter. So welcome to this week's anime podcast. This week we're going to be talking about, first we're going to be talking about the phenomenon, if you want to call it that. Some would call it the strange sight of right-wing fascists, troglodytes, who are appearing in multiple places now, not only just in America, in multiple states, but also in the UK, also in Germany.
Australia.
To some degree, indeed, yes, and to some degree in Ireland as well, who are calling for the lockdown to end because it is unconstitutional, etc. We'll be talking about that first. But we'll start with the obvious. What protests have occurred in the US and Europe against the COVID lockdown? And what are the reasons given by their protesters for these events? Does anyone want to jump in? It's basically what is going on at the moment. Does anyone want to jump in?
I can sort of give an overview. So the protests seem to be manufactured by fringe conspiracy theorists who are convinced that it's a power grab and an encroachment on people's freedoms. And also 5G is another gripe of theirs. So Yeah, it's fairly standard tropes of the right wing. So yeah.
Should also be said that in Germany, about 3,000 people gathered, which is a huge number. Mm-hmm. It's not a small number at all. And over 1,000 were gathering. So that was, I think, in, I don't think it was Berlin, but it was near Berlin, and another place in Stuttgart. So it's not a small amount in Germany.
Yeah.
In America, it is very much a fairly small amount of people. I think maybe not more than about 100 or 200 places like Wisconsin and Michigan. In Ireland, I think maximum we're talking about is 30 or 40 at event at places in Phoenix Park and at the Four Courts. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it is right now. They are suggesting that the state is, again, illegitimately curtailing people's rights, keeping people, in the words of somebody who will not be named because she doesn't need the airtime, said that we are now, Ireland is now Nazi Germany. So I think...
Which is weird because, like, she probably wants to return to Nazi Germany, but she doesn't mean this as a compliment.
I think she would have a problem with Nazi Germany because of its social programs. and they're less than thorough love of the Catholic Church, which she's a big fan of.
I mean, Hitler also planted quite a lot of trees.
He did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right enough.
He also killed an awful lot of people who cause large productions of carbon. So in the long run, he may have been one of the greatest environmentalists in the world has ever seen.
Well, I mean, the person that killed Hitler was Hitler. So who's to say if he's good or bad?
Well, some of the memes reference in there, James.
But do we think these people, I mean, do you think that the people who are making these demands, do we actually think they're, most of them or some of them, or maybe just the leaders, are being upfront about the real reasons they're doing this? Or is this a combination of some wily characters and a bunch of fucking idiots?
I do think...
Sorry.
Oh, remember, guys, you got to use your hands.
Yeah.
Go for it, Oshin.
Yeah, I do think that it's quite interesting that a lot of these protests are being orchestrated by fringe characters like GOD in Ireland and also Trump supporters in the US, like big YouTube followings. And it seems to be that it's almost like Hydra in that you put one head off and two pop up out of nowhere, spouting absolute ignorance. But I don't think it's quite as organized as people are fearing, but I do think it is organized to a certain extent.
So I didn't see which hand went up first, but let's just say Will.
Yeah, Will was first. Yeah.
My arm is raised so high that I'm about to dislocate my shoulder like an overheated child in my...
Stop making witty remarks. This is not a witty show.
we've finished that bit well. So yeah, something like... off the back of what Oisin said, I think they have been like remarkably poorly organized. And I think that's broadly because the kind of person that goes on these protests or the kind of person that's resistant to the measures, the lockdown measures, are the same kind of people that live in a cabin in the woods with a tinfoil hat, you know, worried about the chemtrails turning their frogs gay. Because as such, they're like inherently like suspicious of literally everyone around them, and they think that anyone being near them is an infringement, or is indeed like hostile to their personal liberties. And I suppose that's because they're operating on the assumption that everything, like any social interaction, is a hostile competition for goods and resources, and therefore you cannot trust the person next to you. Therefore the state telling you don't go outside because, you know, you might catch and then spread a deadly virus, it sounds to them like, you know, some sort of weird Stalinist program some sort of weird program designed to like keep them locked down and subservient to a hostile state. It's just utterly wild to me that these people would think this is an infringement to their freedom. A bigger infringement to their freedom is probably dying, you know, like, it's not just about their individual liberty, it's about how they interact with other people in their communities. And if that's spreading a disease, then, you know, maybe stay inside for a couple of weeks.
James is next.
Yeah, so I'm going to deploy my old catchphrase, which is, seriously, officer, it just slipped out. most of these grassroots, they're AstroTurf scenarios, basically, or groups, I should say. They're AstroTurf groups. They're being funded by the usual right-wing groups. What we saw in America was all over different states, they had the same signs with the same handwriting, with, you know, the same slogans. And so I would imagine that it will be someone like the Koch brothers or someone like that, which is, you know, they're involved in a lot of these right-wing grassroots, you know, with the air bunnies over them movements. And it's a complete psyop. What it's really to do is to...
That is your actual catchphrase right there.
That is my catchphrase, yeah. That's what I'm interested in at the moment. They're not there to stop the lockdown. They're there to get people back to work and stop them getting unemployment payments.
That's interesting.
It's also interesting, though, that the people who are sort of tacitly supporting the protests in America and the UK are the government, like Boris Johnson and Donald Trump. They haven't overtly said, oh no, I respect their rights to protest, but they have made statements like, you know, we want to open up the country by May 1st, you know, you can go out but you're not allowed to go out, sort of contradictory statements that feed into that sort of fear that there is sort of something afoot.
Well,
so yeah, like, I think, like, just to, like, follow off James's point about a lot of these people, a lot of these people who are protesting the lockdown are doing so and are, like, in the same kind of camp as, like, big businesses and big companies that are wanting everyone to go back to work to service the economy. I don't know how they don't look at this and think maybe we're not in the right camp here. A lot of people are saying that they miss their work and they want to go back and they want to exercise their right to work again. But, like, I mean, to be fair, I enjoy my job, but I think I'm in a fair minority.
Yeah, you are.
I've got a fairly rewarding job. No one really misses their work. They miss the security of a wage and the security of a salary. So, like, is that really, like, why these people are upset? Is because they want to... I mean, they can't just think, I want to go back to work so I can lick my boss's boot.
But, I mean, just to quote, well, not to quote them, because that'd be fucking stupid, but to kind of generally give a gist of what the groups that are meant to be behind this, the Proud Boys, which apparently is a fascist group. All news to me, which I don't bother to follow American fascist underground.
They're a bunch of Nazi hipsters. They're in London as well. They're just weird.
There are another group called the Boogaloos, which apparently comes from Civil War II Electric Boogaloo, which is a Simpsons reference. They believe there's going to be a race war, a new civil war in between whites and blacks, which, I mean, isn't there already pretty much that going on? It seems like it is.
Wasn't that the first civil war?
Well, it wasn't. Well, the first civil war, well, we won't go down that road, but certainly the idea of a race war is intricately linked to... at the very least, the fascist movement has arisen since the 70s, but really it can go all the way back to post-Civil War, if not pre-Civil War.
Jim Crow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really, really old one. And I think there's another group, but I can't remember, but certainly the thing I was reading that most hit me was that, a bit like with the Tea Party in America, Fox News has basically made this their pet project. And so the attention is getting, a bit like what James said in regards to the Koch brothers, it's more that it's being used, a tiny little phenomenon of idiots. And they really are fucking idiots. I mean, the ones in America, I don't know, the ones in Ireland too, all of them really. But the thing that I think that's most interesting and maybe we need to kind of focus on is this, is this being used by fascists as a kind of a cover, a bit like the birther movement was, the kind of anti-vaxxers, which does exist over here in Europe as well. Because it's not just Britain and it's not just Ireland or America. It's in Germany as well, and thousands of people, in fact. So what is this? Is this the new thing that fascists are kind of clinging around as a way to try and, as a gateway drug, if you will, to get, you know, some people who are less, you know, stupid into the movement? Whoever's first, talk first.
James, you were definitely first.
Yeah. So, I mean, are they fascists, though?
Proud Boys are.
So, but surely a fascist is like got some sort of ideological framework built, you know, that the military should control the government. And, you know, I know fascism is like, what's the saying? It's like, it's capitalism defending itself. Where they give a lot of airtime to white power movements and things like that. But I don't know if they're inherently what you would say fascists, because their involvement and their interest in military involvement is slim. I mean, it's part of the reason that you wouldn't say Trump is a fascist, is because he hasn't got too much interest in starting wars in the rest of the world. He wants to be insular.
But I don't think that's the definition of fascism. The fascist parties that emerged out of Europe didn't emerge out of the military. I mean, some of them might have been veterans, like Mussolini, for example. But for the most part, they kind of took over the militaries. I mean, that's what the Nazi Party did. It had its own separate paramilitaries, a bit like it exists in America, to be honest with you. And they actually were able to take over the military once they got the levers of power. So it's not quite to say that they have to come out of the military or be obsessed with the military. Often there are paramilitaries outside political status quo that kind of take over things, you know? So just to say that, you know?
Cool.
But I think whoever is I can't see any of your faces. So whoever is fellow Jitzer with their hand up.
They all are, damn you. I think my hand was up. Yeah. Just off the back of that, I suppose, like one of the ways like to understand fascism, aside from the military component, which I think it was definitely there, like definitely agree with both of what you said. But one of the ways to understand fascism, I think, in the modern era or like contemporary era, is to look at their attitudes towards pluralism in their own society. So fascists in Europe and America currently are like inherently suspicious of the state, sure. They're inherently suspicious of any kind of military takeover, maybe, but they're definitely suspicious of any kind of like perceived minority groups or other. Yeah, absolutely. They kind of like make pleas based on like an indigenous folklore, like folklore they tell themselves. And COVID-19 is like playing into that beautifully. You know, you've kind of got like the shutting down of borders. You've got like, you know, calls for the cessation of migration labor. You've got bunting-laden street parties in England, like marching 2 meters apart without any sense of irony. That's the thing that gets me, is without any sense of irony. And the thing, I suppose, that I find most concerning, to answer your original question, Alex, is how closely this aligns itself with like anti-Jewish conspiracies. So you've got, like, again, She Who Shall Not Be Named in court currently, talking about COVID being a conspiracy orchestrated by Soros and international Jewry. And she doesn't explicitly say that, but she will like refer to, like, she'll use certain dog whistles that make it very clear that she's talking about Jewish globalism or things under that head. And I think it's, you know, it's just really worrying, especially since she played such a large part in terrorizing that couple who did the advert for Aldi in Ireland. It was Aldi.
It was Aldi.
Little. Yeah.
Lidl.
Okay. But yeah, no, it's terrifying, like how much this is playing into the hands of like the extreme right in places as benign as Ireland, even though it's 30 or 40. But you know, like if the government are locking things down and the Garda are in the streets and being fairly heavy handed from what I gather, actually, then like it just plays into that narrative. And if she's able to go to court and say, look, we are representing the indigenous Irish people and we are an oppressed group by our own globalist Jewish controlled somehow government, then that's really frightening. What staggers me most is that they're so close in coming up with a correct diagnosis. You know, like there is this like mechanistic economic move to oppress them. It's just not done by Jewish people, it's capitalism, you fools. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I should put my tinfoil hat back on, sorry.
So whoever, I can't see anyone's face, so I don't know who this is. There's a hand up
somewhere. That's James.
Is it James? Go first.
Yeah, so I think we should point out that Jim O'Doherty's part to play in the harassment of the mixed race couple is allegedly involved.
Sorry, allegedly.
For legal reasons, I feel that must be stressed.
Can we all do like big scare quotes? Yeah, because she's really prone to suing people, isn't she? She's like, shit.
So that was your point, was it? So we don't get sued. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's an important job and someone's got to do it.
I think we need to keep to the term who shall not be named, because it's it would appeal to all those fuckers who love Harry Potter, who seem to have only read Harry Potter.
Oh, Jesus.
And refer to all political ideologies in reference to Hermione or...
Can we also make it a rule that everything that we have said ever in any podcast is prefaced with the word allegedly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or can we like Photoshop massive scare quotes over like, you know, the graphic that comes up for our podcast?
Yeah.
I think James and I once came up with a sketch where I can't remember what it was, but I think it was he was coming back to some person's flat after a night out with them, and then all the photos in his house, he's replaced like a family member or a friend with the face of that guy, that singer in what's his name?
Rick Astley?
No, he's a horrible, really bad Irish singer. Like all the old John women love him. Almost Daniel as bad as O'Donnell? Yeah, Daniel O'Donnell. That was it.
I was gonna say Sinead O'Connor.
No, that would be cool. That would have been cool. No.
That's Islamophobic to mention her name.
Shit.
You kind of get the impression that these types of people listen to that type of...
Although, in a brief roundabout point, John Waters was married to Sinead O'Connor.
That's true,
They have a daughter, too.
Yeah.
She's great. She's quite old now. But anyway, the last question that should be said, which is the whole point, the reason as to why I suggested this particular topic, is as anarchists, should we be challenging state power in the way it is keeping us indoors and is closing public spaces and is giving the police extra powers? Or is this merely something we should accept because it has health connotations? Should there be a questioning of government and what powers they're taking at the moment? So whoever's got their hand up first, go for it.
That's James again. I'm second.
A little of column A, a little of column B. Like, there's no doubt that you need to stay in your house and wash your hands to stay safe, you know. It genuinely is a pandemic. It's not a psyop, actually.
But the only thing that's not a psyop.
But while you're doing that, you can still question the state and what they're doing and the format that they're doing it in. Because as we well know, once powers are introduced, they don't get like taken away very quickly, if at all. So a lot of laws were originally emergency measures that now just hang around for various reasons, because no one's sort of interested in legislating them away.
Can we think of anything that has been, any law that has been passed? I'll get to you in a second, Will. But can we think of any laws that have been passed? For example, the police powers to stop and to arrest, which they wouldn't have had as easily in Ireland
and
anyway.
Two-week self-isolating sort of those measures put in place. I found out that one of my friends came back from Spain. Now, this is well before the lockdown started, and he had to report to a case officer for every day over 2 weeks in the morning and in the evening. So that's pretty heavy handed, I would say.
Mm. So Will?
So yeah, like I think I agree with James. Like, I don't think, like, I mean, obviously we've all got to stay indoors. I think we are staying indoors, not in virtue of capital demanding us to do so. Because I think capital obviously wants us to leave so that we can get back to making money for them. So it seems to be one of these rare cases where, like, actually the state has legislated despite the demands of capital, not because of the demands of capital. It seems to be like a case of broken clocks being right twice a day. But, you know, the thing that does worry me, however, is the moves in the UK. I'm not sure about Ireland, but in the UK they've suggested having an app on your phone. So that you can, yes, and if you leave your Bluetooth on all the time, then it can tell you if you've been near someone with COVID-19 so that you yourself can self-isolate. There is not a hope in hell I will download this app on my phone. I'm already pretty hostile to the idea that Google should have my information about where to go to. Damned if I, like, I give this information directly to the state. The state keep on saying things like, we're trying to address privacy concerns. But, like, they could just... they could, like, obliterate those concerns if they just made it an open source app. Like, there's no reason to not have an open source app. It's better for security as well. But the fact that they want to have it based on a proprietary model suggests to me that it's something they are, you know, wanting to weaponize this in the future. Because once it's on your phone, you can delete it, but it might still leave like lines of code somewhere and kind of, like, you know, be used for nefarious purposes. So to that end, I'm extremely suspicious of some of the policies coming out. Does that mean to say that we should, you know, go out and have a party and lick each other? Well, obviously yes, but, like, not for the reasons of COVID-19.
See your hand up. It's Oshie. Yes.
I think that's a really good point that Will's making about the sort of the technology side of it, and the government keep on saying we're working on privacy issues. They never say what exactly about privacy they want to work on, and for normal citizens and stuff, I think that would give them pause, and certainly gives me pause as well. If the state has access to your whereabouts every second of the day while you have your phone, that is worrying. You know, that is definitely worrying, and you're opening up a can of worms as well.
Though it's debatable whether they didn't already know where you were. I mean, most of the big companies seem to know where you are at all times.
If you Google in your settings in your phone, it will tell you where you've been and who in your contact lists you were there with.
Jesus.
I'll kind of, like, message you guys later on to show you how you can, like, because it will tell you, it has this information on your phone. And you can turn it off, like, and it's easy to turn off, but it's buried under so many different layers of settings that, like, no one ever kind of checks it. But yeah, I turned mine off a while ago. My fiance did as well. But yeah, like, this information is already available. It told me that I was, like, 4 years ago, I was in a cafe in some, like, arse end part of England with my fiance, and it said, oh, you were at the such and such cafe for 110 minutes on such and such a date. Your other contact, such and such, was also in this place.
Wow.
And I was like,
I always find it really weird after you've been, like, I was at the blood donation clinic last week and it said, leave a review for the blood donation clinic. And I'm like, who the fuck do you know? Like, get the fuck away.
Also, what kind of review could you get?
Okay?
10 out of 10.
Right, you weren't actually at the blood donation clinic, were you? You were somewhere else.
Yeah.
you were? Oh, okay. Because that sounds like a pat on the back, like, I was doing something amazing. news cuts.
So many people in the blood clinic, because if you say to police officers giving blood, they can't actually stop you, and because you're doing a valuable service. So there were so many people in the blood clinic.
Did you say blood donation clinic with quotation marks, air quotes?
Allegedly. Guys, allegedly. Come on. We need to sharpen up the legal team.
So one last little question about this, because I think we've probably discussed it as much as it needs to. Is there any reason to suppose that given how long this pandemic may go on for, we haven't even in Ireland, well, in Ireland, maybe the numbers have gone down, but in the UK, they haven't. And the people are talking about a second, in Britain, they're rather humorously talking about a second peak, but they haven't even got to their top of their first peak yet. But if this goes on for a really long time and the state maintains the powers it does have, is there, I can hear my voice in the background, whoever is right next to there.
I think that's James, maybe?
It should be me.
I've got a headphone in, so it's definitely not me this time. I actually don't know what a fancy new mic exactly for this.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah. I'm using it as a phone. Okay. I'm using my phone as a phone, so it should be...
Should be okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's stopped now anyway. But long story short, do we think if this pandemic, and it probably will go on for the next year plus, that that the more, because people are already now starting to get angry about this. In Ireland, over here in rural Wexford, you can see people driving around normally. Now, again, I don't know for certain that they're not just going for a drive and not going to their friend's house to, you know, socialize, but they probably are. Is there any reason to think that there might be some traction gained by the right on this issue, the idea of the state telling you to stay at home? You know, is there a chance the longer this goes on, the more people are going to maybe get... Wait a second, those guys have a point, you know?
I suppose, like, the burden is on us then to make a similar point, but differently motivated. So, like, one of the... I'm going to, like, shoehorn Nietzsche into this. Nietzsche was once like writing and he was talking about Judeo-Christian morality and like how harmful it was, and then he said something like, you know, we've got to like look at the rules of Christianity and like we look at how harmful they are, and if we look at what motivates ethics in Christianity, it's all about like self-negation and self-obliteration. That's not to say, of course, that all the rules are wrong, Nietzsche says. Like, he'd be a fool if he were to say that things like murder and rape and all these types of things were good. He said, but we need to find like different motivations for seeing why they're like prohibited. I think we need to do something kind of similar. If the state do start overstepping their mark, and if the state do start elongating this process more than is necessary, we've got to have very clearly articulated, very clearly defined reasons as to why we would disagree with this. Because, you know, sometimes you will find yourself in like weird bed company, but you know, you've got to like make it clear why you're there. Like, just like all the left-wing people that were in favor of Brexit were totally silenced and commandeered and appropriated by like the kind of right-wing folk on Brexit. We need to be clearer and we need to be more vocal about the nature of our disagreement.
James?
Yes, it's definitely not me. So who's getting the feedback there?
All of us, I assume. I am, anyway.
Because I'm getting it like on someone else's call, though. It's starting now. The one thing, one of the few things that joins middle class England and Ireland is exceptionalism, that they think it'll never happen to them and the rules don't apply to them. So I think in Ireland, anyway, you will see over the next coming weeks more flaunting of the rules quicker than they're meant to be. I mean, it's definitely starting to see it now, as is. You know, on the street that I live on, there was a street party last weekend. Our next door neighbours had people round this weekend. So in a certain aspect, the people that are going to be able to stick it out are going to be in a better position because they're going to be less likely to get it and suffer the consequences of it. So to a certain aspect, an almost Darwinistic approach is going to be taken to this. Your ability to assimilate information and process it and, you know, limit your chances is going to end up hopefully leaving you in a better position than the people that are going to flaunt the rules are. So how do you get other people then to have the same framework that you can have or we have, you know, knowing that we try and limit our exposure to it as much as possible, even though, you know, there's loads of times where you're just going to have to be like, you know, today I'm going to have to go out and get bin bags for the bin collection. And so I'm going to have to take that chance just to function on. But, you know, I'm not going to go out for a walk for the sake of it. So my question to you guys then is, how, if the right are just saying just flaunt the rules and the government are not stepping in to do anything about it, how do you then stop people's frustration and their exceptionalism, which is leads on to then flaunting the rules, if not breaking them outright?
I would take the accelerationist position, just for the sake of it, which is that, well, because I think like what's going on in England, I don't see that type of exceptionalism getting pierced by the reality of a pandemic. Unless, I mean, even now, I mean, they're talking about 32,000 dead, but it's actually much higher. I mean, the FT said it was like
40,000, I think.
The FT said 55,000, and that was like a week ago. It's whatever the exact number is, it's enormous, and it's not breaking through to people. And I would, I just for the sake of devil's advocate or accelerationist advocate, I don't know if the state continuing to do what they're doing is going to change up. At the same time, Boris Johnson and the Tories very clearly want to have the kind of the Charles Trevelyan view, which is this is, if people die of COVID, it's their own fault, you know, because they were lazy, because they weren't responsible. They were feckless, if you will, a very popular term used by people like Charles Trevelyan.
So I think it did tell us that we need to keep a watch out for any viruses.
It's true, coming right at you. If you see a virus with a leather jacket looking, you know, skulking in the corner, you watch out. Don't date that virus.
Something should be fine, but make sure that you report it.
Yeah, so I mean, in regards to the question, what you do, I don't know. I mean, the accelerationist view at least has a simplicity to it, which is allow it, you know, the herd immunity ideology to run its course. I mean, I think that's what the Tories are doing anyway, which is the problem. I think, but they, you know, at the same time, the crazy wackadoodles with their malarkey are, you know, they're saying, oh, it's a state, you know, infringing. If we just let things go, it would be, you know, be over quicker and be better. So I don't know. I think the left will have always has a problem because it usually talks at cross purposes to the way the zeitgeist is talking. So we're trying to talk in facts or trying to use as much as we can, kind of a logical point of view. And that just doesn't work well with large sections of the population that are very badly misinformed, or as James said, have such an inflated view of themselves that they think nothing will touch them. So I don't know. I mean, part of me says, you know, whatever is going to happen, will opening things up will wake them up. But I don't know. It hasn't worked for Britain.
That was the sound of the ancient Irish god Balor crashing to the ground after Oisin hurled a harpoon at his eye. The old trick never ceases to work. Unfortunately, old Ghost Epstein got away, disappearing off into the Atlantic Ocean. So we're all hot on the chase, but we'll have to leave that for next week's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed our discussions, and hopefully you like this